guess it's nursery time. Welcome back, Brenda. Everybody say goodbye to Kendra. God bless you.
I don't come back, you know what?
You know, the real powerful message to that soul is that you never know what's going to happen to you at any time. Life circumstances begins as it happens to you. You'd be surprised who it can affect down the line. Believe that?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Absolutely. There was a woman who was heading to Mexico for one reason, and circumstances changed her life. The other three, same thing. But we do know why there was only three crosses there. Doesn't mean that God didn't love the other three, but God's got a plan for everybody. You understand that, don't you? He's got a plan for you. Somewhere along the line, you know, that all four of those people needed to be together for one trip. And out of that came a preacher who was staying for God's word. God's pretty neat, isn't he? Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, I think Ms. Monica asked me, I think we need to invite everybody who can. We need to sit, starting this new year, we've got our fellowship hall, it's brand new. And we've got some people who requested to use it, and I think we need to set some guidelines and some rules, and it's not fair for one or two people to make those up. And so if you'd like to have an input on that, stay with us for just 5 minutes or so, just to give us some input if you can on the use of our fellowship hall, so that we can sort of, you know, keep it the same for everybody as we look into this new year. Well, good to see you. Glad to see you. Now, when I started this series, Is Jesus Lord of Your Life? I knew that there would come a point when I would talk about this subject. But let me say to you, I've not talked about this subject in 2 years. To be honest with you, I've never had to talk about this subject since the beginning of 2014. Let me take you back a little bit in history. For those of you who were here in 2013, we had a horrible year financially in our church. By the end of that year, 2013, I always talked with Bill to find out exactly what kind of year we had. And it was bad. We lost between $5,000 and $6,000 in 1 year. If you remember, I asked our staff to take some cuts. They always come through when they know when money gets tight. I don't do that unless I have to. I led the way on that. In January 2014, I struggled with this, and I preached the entire series on tithing. The whole entire month. You were here, you'll remember. And I struggled. I really did. I struggled because it really turns people off. Most preachers will tell you they would rather preach on anything but tithing, money, any of that kind of stuff, because it literally does turn people off. People have left churches over it. People have told preachers off over it and everything else. And I really struggled. And the Lord said, "Is it in my word?" Talking to me. I said, "Yes." He said, "Whenever you stop preaching my word, I'm going to take you out." I said, "Well, I guess I better preach your word." I preached that series. Within 3 months, our church gained back that $6,000 that never looked back. Our church has gone down. Some in numbers. And we all hate that. Some people get mad. Some people's life changes them in different directions. And, you know, people die. I mean, things happen. Okay? But since that time that I preached that series a month ago, I mean for a month, 2 years ago, this past year, we gained $5,000 with less people. Now, here's what you have to understand, folks. Tithing is an individual decision that you have to make. And I'm going to show you all the scripture in a moment that supports that. No one's going to force you. No one is going to say, hey, if you don't give so much money, you're not welcome in this church. We don't hurt one. Listen, there were times in Monica and I's life, in our very early marriage, we didn't tithe. And I'm going to tell you what we said to each other. We can't afford it. We're young. We bought our first house. We both had to have cars. Didn't make a lot of money back then. And this was even before kids come along. And then the whole thing even changes when kids come along. But we just said we couldn't afford it. So we gave $10, we gave $20, we gave whatever we could get. It was not a tithe, but that's what we did. Because we couldn't afford it. Now, we seemed to be able to justify that until it was time for me to go into the ministry. And one of the very first questions on the ordination council that they asked me is, what is your definition of tithing and do you believe in it? There's about 7 or 8 ministers on this. And I sat there and I confessed to them, here's what I know what it says. And I don't do it. But I pledge to you that my life and I will change it. That was 35 years ago. We changed it from that moment, even though we couldn't afford it. From that day forth, let me tell you something, we never wanted for anything, and I would say most of anything that we've ever needed. Now, let me rephrase it. I've not been in need of anything, and I've got most of what I want. Because at that moment in time, I made a decision. I can't use the excuse for more, but I can't afford it. Now, understanding this, this is Monica and I's personal walk. You know, everybody's got their own personal walk. Let me tell you something. The last stage and the last step of maturity in your spiritual life is God control. Does God control your money? Is He Lord over your money? What's on the screen? Only you can answer. Now, when I really stop to think about this, and we're going to show the scripture back all this up in a minute, I stop looking at it from, I got to give 10% of this to God. 10% is a lot. Then I became a look at it. He lets me hold on to 90% of it. Federal government don't do that. Good Lord, I have an applause anyway. More than I deserve. That doesn't mean that the 90% I can go out here and just spend it in sin or whatever else I need to do, or I go and spend so much of that 90% that I can't afford the 10%. Because see, it really is simple math. But math is a part of faith. You see, you've really got to have faith to step out here to do this. Because I'm here to tell you, I looked at it as 10% was a lot of money 35 years ago. Now I look at this 90% is the most gracious thing God's ever done to me. Okay? You understand the difference there? Say amen. Yeah. Alright, let's look at some scripture. Now, Malachi, there's not much really said about Malachi. This is the last Bible in the Old Testament. The Jewish people obviously are back home at this time, back home in Israel. But they've been back home for well over 100 years, and now things get a little lax. And things are not exactly, they don't worship like they used to. They don't give like they used to. And so God's going to speak out through this prophet. And I want you to look at the questions that's asked and how it's answered. Here we go. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances, my laws, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Question mark. Starts off simply with this. You stopped. You regressed. Terms we use today in this century. You backslid. You don't worship God anymore. And you don't give unto me anymore. Return. Look at the word. Return. That word we could use today is repent. You with me so far? Same thing. Means same thing. Return, repent unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But here's what they say. What do you mean we need to return? Now this is not God saying that. This is the people of the day. What do you mean return? What am I doing wrong? It's like someone comes at you and maybe fusses at you, goes to discipline you. And you say, what are you disciplining me for? What did I do wrong? So they're questioning God. All right? You want me to come back to you? What are you talking about? Now, really, it's a good question because now God's going to answer in a whole different ballgame. Look what he says. Comes right out. Will a man rob God? That's a question mark there. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Then God comes back and tithes and offerings. He says, you're robbing me. And they're like, what do you mean we're robbing you? How are we robbing you? You can see the conversation going back and forth here, okay? He's saying, you're robbing me. They said, what do you mean? How are we robbing you? He's going to answer. All right, here we go, Larry. You are cursed with a curse. For you robbed me, even this whole nation. Let me say something here real quick. Here's why I think our church went through some real major struggles back in 2013. It's because we have to understand, when we as a church don't realize what we are to do as a church, then God is not going to meet our needs. He's not going to do it. If we're not preaching His Word, if we don't have a congregation that's faithful, if we don't have people that's not studying God's Word, if we don't have people to volunteer to do what needs to be done around here, then God will shut it down. I believe He will shut it down. Find another congregation that might come in and do something better. So we're in this thing together. So it was a crossroads for me in January of 2014 to come and to say, folks, and these were some scriptures that I used, we got to make a decision as a church. Because if we take another year like we did 2013, it won't be too long. We won't be able to pay the bills around here. And if you remember, I even said, we may need to put a for sale sign out here. Maybe if I do that, maybe that'll get some attention. Because sooner or later, that's what we'll have to do. Because if you don't pay your bills, then they come and set everything up. You put a for sale sign out here, so you can sell it. Now, from that point on, and I had, believe me, I had people that called me, and people have asked me and said to me, until someone pointed this out to me, I didn't realize how wrong I was doing. 3 months' time, a small congregation of 50 or 60 people turned it around. Not only did we get back what we lost in 2013, we showed up with another $5,000 gain by the end of the year. With 50 people who decided, listen, God's word says this, that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
We want to have applause. Now, we do have to, because at one point, many, many years ago, Monica and I were robbing God. Now, I say this to you. It's not about the amount of the check. that you write. God will bless you if you give $10 as much as somebody that's given $1,000. As long as the $10 is your tithe. If you clear $100, $10 is your tithe. If you remember, the Pharisees used to brag about how much money they gave to the church. Jesus says, that makes me sick. That makes me sick. When one elderly person came up and gave the last penny that she had, you know this story. He said, I'd rather have that woman's last penny than all the money that the Pharisees and Sadducees have got. Because you know why? It's because all they're doing is bragging about it, patting themselves on the back. This woman gave everything that she had, even if it wasn't a penny. Now, what's that say in the eyes of God? It's not about the amount of the check or what you give or whether or not he's going to bless you. It's simple to understand. Here's what God asked. Will you rob him? That's up to you. If you rob him, I promise you, you will not be blessed. That's what it says. Now, look here in verse 10. Bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now wherein, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there should not be enough room to receive. See the word tithe? It comes from the word that we get tenth. Tithe, tenth. 10%. Where it comes from. The same thing. Understand this. Here's what God is saying. You say you can't afford it. I say you robbed me. Why don't you test me? Why don't you truly step out on faith and bring it to the storehouse? The storehouse, of course, there. What they did in the Old Testament days, this is how they fed the community. There was no Social Security, there was no Medicare, Medicaid, and all that kind of stuff. What happened back in Old Testament times was the church had to take care of the people. They brought in food. They brought in all kinds of stuff. This is how they did their tithe in Old Testament. Today, the way we do it as a church, as the money comes into the church so that we can keep the doors open, so that we can preach the gospel, so that we can be on the internet, so it goes around the world. This is what it's all about. We do so that we can present the gospel to the world. That's why you do that. It also has to go to maintain the building and do what all we have to do to see that there's a roof over our head so that we can come in here and preach the gospel. When we stop preaching the gospel, then lock it up. Close it down. Put a for sale sign out here and sell it. As long as I'm still alive, as long as I'm standing, we're going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And believe it or not, this is the gospel. All right, give them a hand of applause. So, it says here, and prove me now within, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. Oh, let me tell you something. You haven't lived till the windows of heaven have been opened. Now, I say this all the time, because it is the truth. He didn't say you're going to get everything. Just because it says the windows of heaven doesn't mean that I get everything I want. Because I don't get everything I want until I go in through the window of heaven. But I promise that window will be open to me if I obey him. That's what this means. God's word says, will you obey me or will you rob me? Just a question everybody has to answer for themselves. If you obey me, the windows of heaven are going to be open. Believe me, one day, if you don't want to hear it, depart from me, and I never knew you. You want to see welcome home, come in through the windows of heaven. Believe me, these windows of heaven is going to be absolutely beautiful. He says here, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. Now, people say, it seems to me, we got rich people in this country. Some of them don't know God from Adam. I like that phrase because, of course, Adam came from Adam. We don't know God from Adam. And they're rich. Okay, so what? I promise you, when they take that last breath, they would give every dime that they could afford. come across. I don't care if it's millions, billions, or trillions. I don't care what it is. They'd give every dime to get out of where they're at. Don't be jealous over somebody. Because let me tell you something. This wind of heaven is going to come to every one of you. If you know Jesus Christ, you obey Him, you live by His Word. That's what that means. The windows of heaven are going to be open to you because you believe, you have faith in Jesus, you try to honor His Word. No one's perfect. We're not asking you to be perfect. We're just asking you to understand what God's Word is, respond to it, and understand. You want God's blessing? It is within eyeshot of you if you would truly live for Him. Do you see that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I like this part. There won't be room enough. There will not be room enough. You cannot describe the beauty of heaven that God has prepared for you. I don't care how much you suffer in this world. A lot of people do suffer. And it is a shame what people have to go through. But no matter what, no matter what you're facing, what you're doing, you put your life and your hands into God's hands. And whatever you think you've suffered, and I'll say whatever you think you've suffered in this world, I promise you it'll be paid back to you. A tenth. A tithe. 10 times what you went to be able to see the windows and the gates of heaven. I promise you, whatever you think you've suffered in this world will be nothing like what you're going to suffer in hell if you deny Jesus Christ and His Word. You understand that? Do you really understand that? Let's look at the last verse. Okay. And I will rebuke, I like that word, the devourer. I know who this is. For your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, thus saith the Lord. This is just an Old Testament way of saying, I will take care of Satan. I will take care of the devourer. I promise you, your need will be met. If you truly, truly walk by faith. Don't rob me. Give me what God's Word says, and I will bless even the fruits of your ground. Every place you walk, you will be blessed by God if you truly follow His Word, His law, His grace. You will be protected. Even if the last step you take is in mud, the next step you take will be on the streets of gold. How's that for paying you back? Oh, I think that deserves a round of applause. You know, it's just, it's not hard, but it is a faith step. And understand, you know, God's grace. You can put a value on that. Look at it from this way. I'll tell you something else. When I preached this series, I just don't have time today to get into it, but when I ask you, is Jesus Lord of your money? When you say, I also just preach, is He Lord of your time? You see, your time, wherever you put your time in, is pretty well where your heart's at. I understand God realizes you have to make a living. I think God understands that. I'll tell you why He understands it, because you wouldn't have a living without it. How's that? As much as you can think about that job, you wouldn't have that job without it. You wouldn't have the ability to make that money, whether it's $8 an hour or $50 an hour. You wouldn't have it without it. Okay? You gotta understand that, folks. I believe that. I believe that. You wouldn't have it without it. What we need to do is to understand. Quit complaining about our situation. We say, God, your grace. I need it every day. Be with me every day. I will obey your word. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for the roof over my head. It may not be much, but it's a roof. The old car I drive may not be much, but it starts, it goes. The food I eat may not be steak, but there are people starving all over the world, so I'm thankful to have it. I may not have the best clothes, best of health. But one day I'm going to have the best of everything. Father, we cannot thank you enough, nor praise you enough for the wonderful folks that support this ministry and this church. Father, I'm thankful for every one of them that allow us to preach the gospel. Father, this message didn't need to go to everybody. There's a lot of people who are very faithful in how they tie to this church. But Father, if it needed to go to one person, may that person wake up to understand some of this. God's word is God's word. The promise is made. Step out on faith. Step out on faith. And I promise you, you won't fall. Father, may that be our grace today. Father, bless those who watch us by internet. May this message go forth to an internet world. If you belong to a church and you attend that church, you need to support that church. God's word says you need to tithe to that church, and you need to do that. If you can't tithe to that church, you find another church that you believe what they're preaching, and you tithe to it. Understand. We need God's word to go out to the world. For Lord knows any day the trumpet's going to sound. And God's people are going to leave this world. But until then, shall we work? Shall we live? Shall we give to God's kingdom? In Jesus' holy name we praise. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. If someone is here today and is lost, this could be the first day of paradise for you. Be the first day of redemption for you. The first day to understand God's grace for you. Just come and say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I'm going to talk with you just a moment, ask you a couple questions, have a prayer with you. And if you are sincere, your life is going to change. Not for today, but for eternity. If you need a quiet time at this altar, we're going to invite you to come. May God's grace abound in your life. As Michael plays, would you come in the name of Jesus?